all the things I need. Lice is not one of them. You ever had that? We were in a school one time. We thought we had it. All the big clothes had to be white. All the pillows, all the... Oh, man, what a mess that is. And come to find out, we didn't even have it. Cheryl, come on up, and let's have all the boys and girls come right up here on the front row here. And... Then they can go back and sit with Mom and Dad after that.
Well, I'm glad you're here. This is wonderful. Yes. How many of you like to eat? How many of you like a garden? How many of you like all the food that comes out of the garden? How many of you like tomatoes? How many of you like cucumbers? Good. I see those. How many of you like green beans? These guys aren't liking much food. How many of you like potatoes? Okay. How many of you like French fries? Hey, I got everybody on that one. Well, we are going to talk about the tater family tonight. And I brought some taters with me. Yes, I brought some taters with me. In fact, yes, I got some taters right here. In fact, the first one is dictator. You know anybody that's a dictator? He says, it's my way or the highway. I gotta have it my way. I'm the leader. You get behind me. Because I know how to handle this. You know anybody that's like that? Woo! Not a good life. No. Gotta have it his way, her way all the time. Gotta be in charge. I'm in charge. Woo, dictator. Not too good. No, 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 no. Well, I got Miss Hesitator. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I gotta think about it. I don't think I wanna learn those memory verses right now. I just gotta think a little bit about it. No, I don't think I wanna ask that girl to Sunday school. No, I gotta think about it. Kinda hesitating. Just gonna give it some thought. Well, I brought another one with me. Ah, Hesitator? This is Miss Imitator. Yeah, Miss Imitator. Oh, man, I got Nikes. My friends got Nikes. I got Nikes. I got to have everything my friend has. I got to dress like a friend. Yeah, because I got to imitate. I got to be exactly like them. Oh, you think they shine very bright for Jesus? No, they just gotta look like somebody else. Carbon copy. Doot, 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 doot. No, Miss Imitator. No, 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 no. And then we have Mr. Spectator. Mr. Spectator. He's just gotta, he's not gonna do it. I'll watch you sing up here. Yeah. But I'm not gonna do it. I'll watch you say all your memory verses.
I never tell my brother I hate him, my sister I hate him. No.
You ever think it? Ooh, not too good. Supposed to love one another. And then we have, let us be kind. You got a problem? Too bad. Your problems. I got enough of my own. You didn't make it 100 on the test? That's love. Maybe next week. Maybe next week you make one. Oh, is that being kind? What does the Bible say? Be ye kind. One, two, three, four. And that's the thing. Well, let's watch.
some chapels each day this week. We've had several trust Jesus Christ as Savior this week, and we're thankful about that. Turning your Bibles to Philippians in chapter 2 tonight. Philippians in chapter 2, shining as lights in a dark world. And I'll begin reading in verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. And so, first of all, it's important to notice that as Christians, we are spoken of as sons of God. We are sons of God. You're a son of God if you're saved. Now, we're all sons of God in the creative sense, in the sense that God created all of us, but only those of us who are born again are sons of God in the redemptive sense. And so God's will for your life, if you're saved, and God's will for my life is that we shine as lights in a dark world, an increasingly dark world. And the Bible tells us we're to shine in the world, verse 15, and that refers to the inhabited world in which we live, also to the world system. The world system is evil. We live in a fallen world. That's evident to all of us. And all that is opposed to Jesus Christ. And the world's always been opposed to Jesus Christ. And it is today increasingly opposed to Jesus Christ. And it excludes him. And we're forbidden to love that system. And we're forbidden to love the world. And so we're to shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation. Verse 15 describes this generation as crooked, which means not straight. And what a dreadful spiritual and moral darkness engulfs the world in the increase in crime, in the increase in gambling and drugs. Even down in the grade school now, kids are getting on drugs. And sexual offenses of all kinds. And corruption just in general. The higher you go in politics, the more corrupt it gets. And so they play serious games in high-stake politics. Very, very corrupt system. And we're just living in those kinds of times. But yet, in the midst of all of that, God's will is that we shine. Isn't that something? God's will is that we shine as lights. And how are we to shine? Then Paul goes into several things concerning how we are to shine. Some of them are negative. Some of them are positive. And you know all about automobile batteries, and you know that it takes a negative cable and a positive cable to make that car start, don't you? One will not do. If you have one of those cables unplugged, it's not going to run. It's not even going to turn over. It's not going to do anything. So you need to have power. You have to have the negative and the positive. So many independent Baptist churches today are going all positive. Going all positive. Everything is going to be positive. All the announcements must be upbeat and positive. All the singing must be uplifting and challenging, and all the preaching has to be positive. And you get it? Everything and the whole program has to be positive. And that's the Rick Warren style of doing things. And a lot of pastors are going down that road. They're taking that. They think that is the way to go. But remember, to have power, you got to be both negative and positive. Got to have both. There's, on the other hand, some independent Baptist churches where everything is negative. Man, everything is so. These guys are against everything, even themselves, I believe. Nothing that they're not against. I remember I spoke in a Bible college over in Ohio years ago. Been years ago. And I was drawing a picture and preparing my drawing, and one of the students came up and he says, "My dad is a pastor in northern Michigan, and I know that he would like to have you in his church." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yes." But he said, after a while, he was quiet for a good while. Then he finally spoke up and he says, "But," he said, "My dad doesn't like preachers with wire-rimmed glasses." And then he was quiet for a little while longer. And he said, "Also, he will measure the circumference of your trouser leg." I did not pursue this any further. I just kind of quietly let that one drop. Instead of a hot lead, that turned out to be something else I didn't want to get involved in. There's no power in that. You see? Paul gives us some things which are negative. It's good to have some things that are negative. And on the other hand, there are some things that we ought to do that are positive. You got to have both. And so he begins here in verse 14 by saying, "Do all things without murmurings and murmurings." Same thing. That's the same sin that the Israelites were. Chastised for in Numbers in chapter 21. They murmured against God and against God's man Moses, didn't they? And God brought severe persecution against them in the form of snakes. And I'm telling you what, every time I think about that scripture, I am really afraid of snakes. I'm only afraid of two kinds, dead ones and live ones. And if I would have been there, I'm telling you what, if there weren't any doors in those tents, I'd have made a door getting out of the way. By not murmuring. If you murmur, and that is, that word murmur and the word disputings are very close in their meanings. Murmur, going about grumbling. Grumbling. Murmuring. Complaining against God's provision or against God's providing for us in some way or another. And disputings. And this word disputings carries with it the idea of gossip and unwise talk. If you do that, God's not going to bless you and your light's not going to shine. Now, that's a fact. And so unwise talk and gossip. Someone said that unwise talk and gossip is murmuring let loose, infecting others with careless talk, involving them and getting a phone ministry, you know. You know what a phone ministry is? Did you hear what happened the other day at church? I just wanted to know if you heard about it. I wanted to get the message to you. You see, many a church has been destroyed that way. Be careful about that. James had a very low opinion of our tongues. Very low opinion. And so, by not disputing, verse 14 says. And then it goes on to say in verse 15, by being blameless. That simply means to be free from blame so that no one is able to accuse us. So live our life that if anybody tells it about us, tells things about us, let it be a lie and not the truth. What did they say of Daniel? In Daniel 6 and verse 4, they sought to bring accusation against him, but they couldn't find anything to blame him for. So let that be said of you and I. By being harmless, also in verse 15, and this carries the idea of being free from adulteration or being sincere and without guile. And a special reference is to our motives. It's not only the wrong things that we do that are the most serious offenses. It's the wrong motives we have that prompt our actions, and God knows the motive for why we do things. As human beings, we can only see each other's actions and we can hear each other's words. But God can look upon the heart. He knows why we do things, what motivates us to do things. By being without rebuke, that's also in verse 15. The idea here is in living such a way that we don't have to be checked, or we don't have to be corrected, or we don't have to be chastened by the Lord. Have you ever been spanked by the Lord? Well, He certainly knows how to do it to every one of us. The Lord knows how to spank us. If you're in the family and you're a child of God, then you're liable to be spanked from the Lord and by the Lord. Now, I've seen some kids that I'd certainly like to spank, but they're not my kids. I can't spank them. I'd like to, but I can't, because they're not in my family. But I could spank my own kids. And if you're in the family of God, if you're born again, if you're in the family of God, God is liable to bring discipline upon you or upon me for one thing or another, and we'll be chastened for it. We'll be disciplined for it. And so the idea here is to so live our life that we'll not have to be spanked and chastened by the Lord. Keep it between the lines, in other words. Keep it on the narrow road. Keep it between the lines. Don't get out here in the field. Don't get off the road. And otherwise, the Lord will bring chastisement to us, and because of our carelessness and because of our failure to judge ourselves. And from time to time, I think it is good for all of us just say, Lord, am I on the right track here? Judge ourselves. And if we'll judge ourselves, we won't have to be judged by the Lord. You see? And that word blameless, that's carrying with it all of this idea of living for the Lord and being self-corrected so that the Lord will not have to correct us, bring judgment into our life. Holding forth the word of life. And this is mentioned in verse 16. And this refers to our active witness in preaching the gospel. Naturally, holding forth the word of life. First thing we want to do, we want to think about preaching. Yes, preaching. And that word preaching simply means to proclaim. There is a sense in which all of us are preachers, because what we are doing is proclaiming the wondrous works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Proclaiming. And so a ministry of proclaiming. And it goes far beyond that, though, holding forth the word of life, because there's all kinds of ministries. The only the preaching publicly, as I'm doing tonight, or the pastor will do Sunday morning, that's not the only That's not the only ministry of holding forth the word of life. It's far greater than that. Far greater and wider, holding forth the word of life. By personal witness, by tract distribution. You know the guy that led the Japanese attack and bombing Pearl Harbor in World War II? This fella survived World War II as a pilot. Most Japanese pilots did not survive World War II. They were killed during the war. But he survived, went all the way through the war. In 1946, after the war was over, 1945 and then 1946, an American missionary went to Japan. He was standing at the top of a subway station, and up from the ground and up the steps came this former pilot, Japanese pilot, and the missionary handed him a tract. He took it home to his apartment and he read it. And he was gloriously saved by that tract. Now, he was a Buddhist. He was a Buddhist, but he became a Christian. And he became a dynamic Christian and has spoken. He spoke all over the world in Christian gatherings and as guest speaker and so forth. He had a very great testimony, wonderful testimony for the Lord. No telling how far a track will go. No telling who's going to pick up the track. No telling who's going to read it. No telling who's going to respond to it. That's a good ministry to have, isn't it? There's all kinds of ministries. Ask God what He would have you do. I'm of the persuasion that all of us ought to have some kind of a ministry, because I've always thought that we are not saved to sit, but we're saved to serve. Do something for the Lord. Not all of us will be called into the ministry of preaching or being a missionary or being an evangelist or whatever, but all of us can have a ministry. My brother-in-law was a missionary to Hong Kong for 12 years with the Christian Missionary Alliance. And he said some of his church members had a ministry. They took Bibles and they tore every page out of the Bible. And each page they would roll up in a very fine roll and they would stick it in a stick of bamboo. And a Chinese farmer would load that on his wagon, and with horse and wagon he would cross through the, at that time, Red China was separate from Hong Kong, and they had border guards, communist border guards there to examine the things entering into Red China. And on the other side, as that farmer would take those bamboo sticks into Red China, Christians on the other side would take the bamboo sticks and split them, and they would take those pages of the Bible out and they would reassemble the Bibles on the other side, and that's the way they smuggled Bibles through to Red China. That was their ministry. There's all kinds of ministries. There's letter writing. That's a great ministry to have. Letter writing. Write a letter to someone that the Lord's laid upon your heart and tell them about the Lord and show them that you're concerned about them. That's a great ministry to have. And it's a dying ministry. We might update that by doing email now, huh? But it's something that's going out of style. We have a friend that just passed away, and she would faithfully write us letters, and she wrote letters to hundreds of people that received her. That was her ministry. She felt like she just loved to write. I'm not talking about notes. She'd write a 4 or 5 page letter. Not many people do that today, but it's a great ministry, and it has a tremendous impact. upon those who receive it. So there's all kinds of ministries to have. Ask God what He would have you to do. Ask God to show you a ministry that you can be involved in and do something as far as holding forth the word of life. Paul says you need to hold forth the word of life. He's not only talking to preachers. He's talking to all of us. It's not negative, but it is positive. It's a thing that we are to do, not something that we should neglect from doing. And then by living in the light of the day of Christ, and that's indicated here in verse 16. And that day of Christ is referring to the judgment seat of Christ. And so he reminds us that we are to live and labor day by day in the light of this solemn time of reward or loss. There is going to be a judgment for Christians. It's the judgment seat of Christ, and there's going to be rewards given out. There's going to be loss of rewards. It's going to be a happy day for some. It's going to be a sad day for others. So we are saved, yes. Will we ever lose our salvation? No. But live every day of your life in light. And those who criticize us for believing in eternal security, they fail to realize that there is a judgment for Christians. Not only a chastisement in this life, in this world, if we step out of line, but there is a judgment seat of Christ. The Bema seat, the judgment seat. Those of you who have been to Greece, and you'll remember going to the place near Athens where they had the big games similar to the Olympics, and there was a big concrete thing about the size of that sound booth back there. Larger than that, probably. But on the front, Bema, judgment seat. That's where the king sat, or the judge of the game sat, and would hand out rewards for those who had excelled. And so, live in light of the day of Christ. Live in light of the judgment seat, judgment day to come. And I think it'll change. If we will think every morning when I get up, or when you get up, if we'll think every morning what we're going to do for the Lord that day, and how is that going to reflect upon the day of Christ, that'll change the way you live. That will change the way you live. That alone by itself will change the way you live. If we live every day in light of knowing that one day we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. And in that way we'll let our light shine. Even in a dark, sinful, wicked, old, fallen world like we're living in, and getting increasingly so. So why are we to shine last tonight? Why are we to shine? Well, that God the Father may be glorified, Father, first of all. And how may He be glorified? Well, we have to also glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how the Father is glorified. That the Lord Jesus Christ may be magnified. And that will glorify the Father, God. And to magnify a thing is to make it appear bigger. And Christians, by their shining witness, are to make the Lord Jesus Christ big before the world. Not to magnify ourselves, but to magnify the Lord. That glorifies God. And so, there can be no shining without burning. And burning means sacrifice. You're going to have to give up something in order to serve the Lord. That's just a fact. I'm going to have to give up something in order to serve the Lord. If you take a lamp and with a kerosene fuel in the base of that lamp and you light the wick and it starts to burn and it gives off light, it does so by burning that fuel. And as long as that fuel is being burned, the light is being given off. And it's illuminating. And so it is with your life and my life. Something has to be expended. Something has to be burned in your life and in my life in order to give off the light. I heard a preacher say this many years ago, and I never forgot it. He said, how dark do you think the world would be if Jesus had not come the first time? Now you think about that. How dark do you think the world would be if Jesus had not come the first time? Well, I'll tell you what, we would all be living like the Taliban, most likely, in spiritual darkness, lost. What a dreadful thing that would be. Have you ever stopped to contemplate how the life of Jesus Christ changed the world? And what if he had not come, and where would we be then? Everything would be totally different. Totally different. And so, let your light shine, friend. And have you ever taken a flashlight out in the daylight? Now, I'm going to use a black light in just a moment. Black light does not travel very far. Black light is easily overpowered by white light. Sunlight, even a little sunlight, can overpower my black light here. I have problems in some churches with light coming in, so trying to show the black light. Black light's weak. Sunlight is extraordinarily powerful. And have you ever taken a flashlight out in the daylight, maybe about noon, and turned that flashlight on? You could hardly see that the filament of the bulb, whether it's on or not. You have to look close sometimes to see if it's really on. But same flashlight, keep it till about sunset, and as the sunset starts going, sun starts setting, going down, everything becomes darker. And then at night, you can see a flashlight a long, long way off. The darker the night, the brighter the light. And so it is that even in this old dark world, and I think we're going to see it turned much darker in the coming years, perhaps even open persecution of Christians. But even then, the Bible tells us to shine as lights in a dark world. So I'm going to draw for you right now. And what else could I draw but the lighthouse? Jesus said that he is the light of the world. And I'm going to illustrate that thought. Let's have the lights, please. Thank you.
Struggling seamen.
Well, let's stand together. Every head bowed and lights on, please. How about you tonight? Might be that you'd just like to come and pray. Whatever your need, you're welcome to come. Could be that you're not saved. You're welcome to come. As we sing, "Just As I Am," with that one plea, you come. Come on. Second verse, and it says, "And waiting not." You come tonight if God's speaking to you, whatever your need, you come.
Just as I am, and waiting not. Of one Lord.
Father, we're grateful for every blessing you've given to us and how you continue to bless us even though we don't deserve it. And I pray that you'd be with each one for the rest of the week, and especially for those in chapel tomorrow. We pray that more boys and girls would trust Christ as Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.